for Shirley for the nice piano, and really appreciate that a lot. And really appreciate all those who are out there today who were gracious enough to come and gracious enough to sing along. And so we're just looking to be led of God. The name of the title of my message today is called The Way Holiness Points North. The Way Holiness Points North. And I wanted to read, I was doing some research, and I don't pretend to know everything, and I don't. There's a lot I don't know in life. But one thing I do know, but I wanted to write this down. I had known about the nautical, there's a nautical compass and nautical navigation terms used in relative bearing and true north. Man, from the beginning of time, has sought to align himself with a fixed measure of understanding and direction. And thus you had the one star that these three kings sought after, looking for to find direction when trying to find Jesus, the baby king. And so it is, we have an unmoving light that the Lord put in the sky. We also have an unmoving truth that he has given us through his word. And I wanted to just sort of read something here. True north versus relative bearing. In nautical navigational terms, there is true north and relative bearing. True north is a fixed point of reference representing north in earth geography. By finding true north is always able to determine one's place in relation to north. Relative bearing is the direction of a fixed point or a moving point in relation to the direction one is heading along the course. Relative bearing does not determine location along the course unless the fixed point is true north. And my question then today is, what is determining your direction today and your course? Jesus determined what the true fixed points towards salvation was. Towards salvation is the Word of God. He used the Word of God, he wrote it as a map book to map out our direction in life. If you set your life in the right direction, whatever course or direction you may be on, if you, whatever place you might find yourself to be, always adjust yourself relative to the Word of God. Always look to the Word of God as your guide, a map book to help to get you back on the right course. The Word of God is like a huge chart. It's able to lead and guide and keep you on the center road to heaven, on the narrow path. And that is what we need. According to John 14:6, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In other words, also, if you find yourself in the wilderness, and we all find ourselves in the wilderness, don't we? When you look at a location in the wilderness, you would look for to find the true north. Always look for a cool, sort of a muggy spot or area in the woods. If you can find the growth of moss on a tree, you will always find it on the south side of that tree. You will then know to go opposite of that direction or relative to that direction. You will know whether to go east or west or south, whatever direction you're heading. But Jesus will help to keep us on the right path. The road to heaven is bumpy. It's full of potholes. It's dusty. You go through searing heat and frigid cold. You go through roads that are unkept, uncertain, and lonely. And there's moments in my life where I can certainly attest to that. And the Lord would have us to understand and to know and to realize that there are definitions within the Word of God that keeps us not going too far to the right or to the left. Because the Spirit of God will always speak to our hearts, telling us to go this way or that way. And the Word of God is being used as a road map, a guidebook, a chart. But the Word of God is the Word of God, coming from the King James Bible. And it is the very thumbprint, the very fingerprint of God's thoughts. And one of the things that I wanted to read as I opened the Word of God before we came to worship is in Isaiah chapter 1. It says, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they shall be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Now, you see, this is what I'm talking about for today. But it is a road. There are actually two roads that go to heaven or hell. You have one road that goes to heaven in eternity. You have one road going to hell. And we make choices every day. But the road to heaven is always going to be the difficult road. The road to heaven is always going to be full of the enemy taking snipe shots at us, trying to hit us off, trying to get us off course, trying to ruin our lives some way or in some manner, either by force, by habit, by traps or ensnarements of any kind that he can possibly find to get you off the one-way road. And as you all well know, and maybe for those who don't know, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but therein the end is death. And oftentimes we are truly deceived and misguided through religion, through concepts of religion. People think they're on the right road, but if they haven't read the Word of God, they're not on the right road. They won't know the right road, and they won't know the way. And we know that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, even good deeds. The road to hell is also easy and wide and slippery. The road to hell is like a greased pole. And once you get on that pole, there's no stopping except the grace of God give you space and room and time to repent. Therefore, it is important that we, by the grace of God, we go. And we seek God and we acknowledge that. We acknowledge that without God's grace, without His mercy, none of us could make it. We wouldn't even have a chance. And we need to be on that right road daily, because we do not know the hour or the time of our visitation or of our death. We don't know. And it's important that we stay steady and strong. And if we do know God, to be persistent and diligent and faithful. Jesus said that when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will we be among those that will be found faithful and true and walking with God? Are we going to be there among the redeemed when we stand before God on that great day? Or are we going to be there among the shamed, among the condemned, among those who have rejected God and didn't carefully seek after God while they had a chance? And so it is today. We must carefully seek God's ways, because the right way is littered with traps and snares of all kinds. And one of the biggest that I can think of, as I've made mention, I think 1 or 2 weeks ago, maybe 3, whatever it was, the trap of offense. And how that people, like that illustration I gave with that monkey, that any typical monkey that is in Africa or elsewhere, wherever they are, whoever is looking to trap a monkey will always place the bait inside of the cage. And oftentimes the monkey, as I had said before, will go in and grab that bait. He's too smart to go inside. So he's going to grab it through the bars and he's going to hang on to it, but he won't let go of that bait. And so it is with the devil's tricks and wiles and traps and snares. He wants us to hang on for dear life to every offense that comes our way. Because in so doing, we are trapped and we are ensnared. We can't let go because this or that happened to us, and the devil will want to try to justify in our minds and in our hearts, but he speaks to the mind, why we should not let go. And that is one of the many ways the devil will keep or get you off course. These are ways that we need to be aware of. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 57, 11 through 13, and I should say too, now, there are those that wonder why I write down on a notepad the words of God. I want to just say something here. I need to learn the Word of God just like anybody else. And one of the ways that allows me to learn the Word of God is to look at it and to write it down. When I write things down, I learn the Word of God. When I write it down, I get it into my heart. Because I know I read it, I write it down, and I know that I'm concentrating on the Word of God. Secondly, sometimes the light up here does play tricks on your eyes with the glare and the shadows of that and this and that and the other. With the way it comes down here on the pulpit here. It's just, for whatever reason, it is what it is. And when I write it on a notepad here, it's very clear. I don't have to sit there and strain with the eye trying to read or figure out what does that say, or, you know, like right now, it's even hard to read this. But by the grace of God, he helps us to find a way. I don't wear glasses, and I hope to keep it that way. But I hope that anyone who comes here or is online will understand that fact. It's the Word of God to me is most important. And therefore, it's most important that I take whatever avenue and road I can find to help me to understand it and to remember it. And I read the Word of God from the Bible at home or wherever else I am, wherever the lights aren't playing tricks with your eyes. But here, it is sometimes very, even to read the song book, it's difficult sometimes. I've missed a word here, missed a word there, and I'm sure you all can relate to that. And sometimes even out there, the lights are kind of dim. And and I have been talking about perhaps trying to find a better lighting system in this church. And by the grace of God, maybe we could. We'll just have to wait and see what happens with all that. And by the grace of God, Michael and Sam and Jane and Ann and all these other folks out here could maybe help us to know what to do. But if we go to chapter 57, 11 through 13, it says here, "And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared? That thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held my peace even of old? And thou fearest me not?" Because, you see, and I hope you don't mind that I take opportunities like this to stop and examine the Word of God as I feel the Lord reveals it to me. That this is what I'm talking about. The devil will use these times to try to camouflage and blind and distract you from the right way. That's why it says here, the Lord says that, "Thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart." Therefore, when I look at that, I look at people who bring upon themselves all the cares of the world. They have all these cares and all these distractions that distract them from the Word of God, and that keep them from knowing the true knowledge of the Word of God and how that they should conduct themselves. And it says in verse 12, "I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for all they shall not profit thee." These are the self-righteous and the boasting and the self-reliant that I'm reminded of. And in that day, it will be shown plainly. God will reveal all things. And in 13, it says here, "When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee." What is he saying? He's saying, if you have rejected me, then I'm going to let the blind and I'm going to let the lame deliver you. I'm going to let those who thought they knew the way but have rejected me to lead and guide you into a ditch. The Bible says that the blind lead the blind and both fall into a ditch and are ruined. They are destroyed. They are held captive by their own evil imaginations of their mind. And it says here, "But the wind shall carry them all away." That reminds me of chaff. When they're carried away like the dust in the wind, like true chaff is carried away. It's just, you don't know what direction that's going, but it's gone. It's carried away. But God knows all that. "Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain." Those who trust God will always know the best course, the best road, because God will lead and guide them. That is the one way, the true way. In Isaiah 59, 7 and 8, "Their feet run to evil." In other words, what we're talking about is that sin obstructs the way. "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. They imagine and they nurse evil thoughts and iniquity, not only towards you but others." And they imagine evil against God. They think that God is not able to help them. They think that God is some figment of someone's imagination. They think that his word is only a book of tales and fables. But one day they're going to know, and it's going to be a sad day, if they are found in that group of people who will be found wanting, who will be found in desperate straits, hopeless and helpless, not able now to escape the wrath to come. And it says here in verse 8, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. In other words, they don't know what it is they're pursuing. They're double-minded. I mean, they think they want to do this, and then they change their mind. Well, maybe I think I want to do that, or, well, I don't even know what I believe. They don't even know what they're doing or where they're going or what they believe. I'm not faulting people who truly don't know, but then there are those who are given opportunities to know and reject it. And they want to do their own thing. That's where the big difference is. And no one's perfect. Again, we all have our disposition in life. We all have our personalities. We all come from different backgrounds. And nobody can fault anyone for that. But that's not the issue. The issue is a matter of a heart gone wrong. The issue is the matter of sin not dealt with when they know to deal with it. The sin is a willful neglect of God and His Word. And it says here, and they have made them crooked paths. In other words, no sense of justice, right, wrong, or where they're going or what they're doing. Whatsoever goeth therein shall not know peace. In other words, all those that are associated with them and all those that they're associated with, they will not know peace. It will be far from them. Who is that peace? If they don't have Jesus in their life, if they don't seek after Jesus, they're not going to know how to find peace. They're not going to know. They're going to be confused. And they're going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and wave that comes their way. They're not going to know how to handle the circumstances in life. And if they're going to be double-minded and change their mind and change their ways, there is no peace in that, my friend. No peace. Because Jesus wants us to understand and learn the truth of absolutes. There is only one God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But the absolute truth is that there is a God. There is a one way. There is a word that He has given us, called the Holy Bible. And I believe that we all must understand that there are absolutes. There are no other ifs, ands, or buts. Excuses are for those who don't want to know the truth. Excuses are for those that are running from the truth. Excuses are a cop-out. I think we all know that. And to my shame, I used to do that. If I didn't want to do something or acknowledge something or someone, I would find a way or an excuse not to do it. How wrong is that? So I'm not afraid to tell you of my own misgivings, and of my own failures, and of doing this or that, because we all know that nobody can impress somebody else. We're not here to impress other people. We all know that we're all human, and we already know that you can pretty much read people. You can see through them. There's no need to try to be pretentious, or there's no need to try to be someone other than who you are. And in Proverbs chapter 14, 11 through 16, it says here, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. In other words, sin brings ruin and righteousness brings stability. And there is a tabernacle. There is an altar. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, however, but therein is the end is death for those who do not acknowledge God's truth, who do not acknowledge God's ways, who look to find fault and failure, who look to find a way that they can destroy or disrupt or disconnect, a way to take people off the right course, to discourage and to hurt any way they can, whether by word or action. And that's fine. We all understand that people are people. We know that there is a devil, there is an adversary in our lives. But our call is not to condemn others. Our job is to encourage others. Our job is to try to help, to edify, and to encourage and strengthen the brethren. And that's going to be so important in the coming days when life gets very confusing, almost impossible, when the store shelves are bought out. There's no more gas to buy or it's too expensive to get around. When things are going to happen that are going to just cause even those who are strong in the faith be tempted to fail their hearts for the fear coming upon the earth. There are going to be a lot of things that I don't pretend to know. But I know for one thing, there's going to be a lot of things that will be happening in the soon coming days, months, years, perhaps, if the Lord tarries. We want to be ready. This is why we are talking about the one road to heaven. That's why we're talking about the way of holiness. That's why we are here to encourage each other to get on the right path, that narrow road that leadeth to life eternal. And if we don't encourage each other to do that, we are dropping the ball. If we don't encourage and teach and preach these kinds of things, we have no business, whether it's me or somebody else in some church somewhere across the world. The Word of God is still true today as it ever was. And we need to be aware that His truth is written to keep us on the right path. It's a chart. It's a map. It's a guidebook that will lead us home to the right, on the right path. If you will but just listen to the words of God, if you will hear it in your heart, if you will hear His voice when He calls your name, He stands at the door and continually knocks, knocking, knocking, knocking. But then there comes a day when that knock stops. And it says here in verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I'm reminded of the blind zeal of religion and performance, aren't you? It's a blind zeal of people that are self-deceived. There is a way that seemeth right. It seems right to them. It sounds good. It feels good. It tickles their senses. They feel like, you know, I'm just going to go to this church over here and I'm going to sit in a comfortable little couch and we're all going to just have a good time and sit around and talk and ask questions. There are churches out there like that. They call themselves a church, but they're not the true church. There's a remnant church, but you have these seeker churches out there. You have all these other New Age concept churches, forming all over the globe, seeking to get you off the one way. They are engineering ways and means of conducting a study to make it or to make it feel like it's palatable and acceptable to you, or that it's redeemable even. They sit around and they ask all these endless questions. And they don't have a preaching service. They don't have a song service. They get around and they try to look holy and sound holy, and but they deny the power of God. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny His works. They deny His Spirit. They deny the one way. I saw books many times. I'd go into a bookstore or a Christian bookstore and see this one book that was titled, All Roads Lead to Heaven. And you know, just by reading that, that is completely false. All roads don't lead to heaven. Only one. And it says here in verse 13 of Proverbs, Proverbs 14, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. What is that sorrowful? Forced laughter, mirth, that pretension, that seeming to be happy but putting on a front. The heart is heavy. And in the end of that mirth is heaviness. There is no depth to that joy. There is no real joy in that heaviness. Basically what it is the joy they feign to have is as far as the expression of their word from their teeth outward. That's as deep as it goes. And we know that that's only false pretension. If it doesn't come from the heart, I don't want to hear it. It's like talking to a drunk. It's like talking to somebody intoxicated on the ways of the world, the ways of self, self-reliance and self-justification and all these other things. It's okay to just, I've talked to many people, and after a while, you can tell whether or not they're talking from the depths of their heart or from the depths of deceit. And truly, there are many deceived people out there. And you don't want to sit there and pound them over the head and say, you're this or you're that. That's not what we're trying to do. But you know that there are those that are out there that are looking to find a way to incorporate their own ways of thinking in place of God's word. They deny God's power. They deny God's ways. And they want their own voice heard. Their own opinions. They want that to be heard. But I can tell you that everyone's got an opinion. Everyone has an opinion, don't we? Everybody. And the only opinion that really matters is right here, the Word of God. That's the only one I care about. I mean, I'll be kind and courteous and listen to others. But if it doesn't measure up relative to the Word of God, which points to the sides of the north, the ways of holiness, then, hey, if it doesn't match up, I don't want to hear it. If it doesn't match up, I'm not going to regard it. In Proverbs 14, verse 14 says here, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Those are his own devices. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. That is the joy of a good conscience towards God. The joy of a heart that is filled with God's Spirit, with God's ways, with His Word. We are renewed by the washing and transformed by the Word. And in so doing, we understand that God's ways are able to cleanse us, to make us whole, to redeem us, to help us to understand things that we never thought of before. And he's able to quicken us and to reveal things to us about many things, about the concepts of his word, the truths of his word, the absolutes of his word. He's able to reveal to us all those things that we need that will equip us to get from here to there. And if we're not diligent, if we're not steadfast in our prayers, in our seeking after God every day, every morning, every night, we're going to be prime targets for the devil to get us off track. Pretty soon, something's going to happen in our life, and we're going to say, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to go to church. I can't do this. I can't do that, because all these distractions have found their way into my life because I've allowed them. I've allowed them somewhere, some way, to find track in my life. But the only train I want to get onto is the glory train of heaven. I want that train. That train is never late. That train is always going to trail in and lead in to the glory of God. And I want that in my life, and I'm sure you do too. And it says here in verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. What does that mean? That means he's going to test and to try every spirit and follow after the peace of God. That means he's going to study the word of God. And if you don't know the word of God, you're not going to know when deception comes your way. And you grab a hold of that deception with all your might, with all your hands, and pretty soon you're off track even just a little bit. And towards the end of the day, towards the end of the week, of the month, of the year, you're way off track. If you don't right yourself, if you don't allow the Lord to take the helm of your heart and right the ship in the right direction by the compass of God's word, by the compass of holiness, relative to true north. True north, the sides of the mountain, the sides of holiness, the sides of where God's glory will rest forever. And if you go to number 16, it says here, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. When you're a wise man and you depart from evil, that means that you are weary of sin. You are weary of the way of walking down the wrong path. You want to guard your heart against sin of every kind. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you won't fall into sin. It doesn't mean that you won't fail, because we all do. I've been a victim of it, and I've victimized others. That's why I can't fault anybody. You can correct somebody, but you don't want to hold any malice or ill will towards them. That's not what we want to do as Christians. We want to be able to correct, but we don't want to condemn. That's not our job. We just want to be right with God and move in the right direction. That's going to be all important that one day. And it says here, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. They push towards the depths of sin. They live a life unguarded. They live a life that is unkept. Their road is easy. Their road is full of entertainment. Their road is full of wealth and full of anything they want, even whether it be through ill gain or otherwise. And I'm not saying all those who are rich are going to hell. I'm not saying that at all. Please do understand that. But there is a way which seemeth right, but the end is death. That is why we must guard our hearts, guard our thoughts, guard the way you walk. That means the way you talk. That means the way you understand things. That means the way you relate to other people. Before you speak, know what you're saying. Before you speak, know in your heart what you really feel about the matter. I've always said this, and people have heard me say it, mean what you say and say what you mean. Otherwise, don't say it. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm not perfect, and we all make mistakes. But at least strive for the mastery. Strive for good. Strive for absolutes. Strive for truth. To know what you mean and mean it well. Okay. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. In other words, well, people will sit there to justify their carnal ways, won't they? Many will justify that they're doing something contrary to the Word of God or contrary to the Spirit of God, contrary to what is right, and they will try to justify it. They will have carnal behavior. It will show very clearly in the things that they say, how they act towards you, how they treat you, or how I would treat others. It's not only them, but it's me. And it goes both ways. When you're pointing the finger at somebody, just remember there's always, as you all know, three fingers pointing back right at you. But that's not what I'm just talking about today. There is so much, and it's about our soul, that we would not be found wanting on the scales of sin. We want to be found on the right side of God, full of faith, not fear. And the Lord pondereth the hearts. He weighs every thought and every intention that a man or a woman would think. He weighs it all. Nothing escapes his notice. In Jeremiah chapter 10, 23 to 24, it says here, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. In other words, we want the Lord to intervene, to help us, lead us down the narrow path with grace, with truth and protection. But most of all, with the blood of Jesus upon our lives. We know that without the blood of Christ, we will not be justified, nor by faith. We need faith. And it says here in Jeremiah chapter 6, 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. What happens at that moment? Sin has darkened and clouded their vision, hasn't it? They are full of rebellion, therefore they will go in circles in life. Like the old Israelites of old, they went in circles because they rebelled against God. Yet God protected them, didn't he? Yet God was merciful. And God always sent the Savior throughout the ages to the Israelites whenever they needed a Savior. Whenever they cried out in despair, God was there to help them. He does not dismiss his mercy from our lives unless we just completely reject it. And in Proverbs chapter 10, 29, The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. In other words, the strong and the upright are apt to obey the word of God. They are apt to walk in the ways of holiness. They don't want to live a life of greed and sin. They want to be upright in heart. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity, those who plot and plan and gnash their teeth against the righteous, those who plot and plan evil and wickedness in their hearts towards others. And I can't help but say what I'm saying today, because all we have are the examples given us before us as we live. We have examples in the Word of God. We have examples in our own lives that we must understand, we must consider, and we must learn from. Because if we don't learn from our mistakes, if we don't learn from the examples given to us in our own lives and in the Word of God, we will never get it right. And it says here in Psalm 119, 104 to 105, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate the false way. In other words, the false way becomes loathsome to you. You don't want anything more to do with that, because you know that holding hands with the devil will only create and demonstrate in your own life folly for not hearing and listening and obeying the Word of God. And it says here in 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How can that be? It is the Holy Ghost, the oil of the Holy Ghost, who quickens you and which prevails in your life. It shows you and leads you and guides you in the paths of truth, along still waters, along peaceful meadows, along ways of uprightness and gladness and joy, along the ways of truth and absolutes, so that you know the right difference between the right and the left hand, that you're not carrying with you iniquity stored in your hearts, or sin, or contempt, or habits of any kind, but you seek to throw away those weights. You seek to throw away and to take away any form of deception from your life, so that you can see clearly, so that you can understand God's word freely. God gives us free grace. It's a free gift. And we should not abhor that gift. You know, Esau did that. And he sought God carefully with tears and repentance, and could not find God's moving in his life anymore. He could not find that place of repentance. And in Proverbs chapter 4, 11 through 19, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. These, what are they? What are these? What is this wisdom and right paths? To apply wisdom, and it is to imply instruction to the foundation of God's truth, of God's word, the principles of God's word. I've learned a long time ago never to make a decision without a principle involved. Never to make a decision without godly principles to lead and guide you. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. This is preserved from hurting oneself. We are helped by the grace of God. He keeps us from going astray. He keeps us from walking down the wrong road to ruin. So it is so important that we do not forget that God has a way, and so does the devil. In verse 13 it says here, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. And the Lord is talking about wisdom and nurturing the fear of God to obedience. This is what we want in our lives. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom, isn't it? That is an absolute truth. And verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. In other words, don't go into the way of compromise where you are seduced. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. The broad way is full of devil seducing your senses. You're seduced every day through the media, the medium of the TV and even the radio. Not saying you can't listen to the radio. I'm not saying you can't listen to the, you know, internet or whatever. But you have to be careful. And there are ways that the devil uses these instruments to capture and to ensnare you. And if you're not careful, if you're not watchful, you'll slide right in. And without even hardly a whimper or an effort of resistance. Because you'll be so deceived, you'll willingly go. And that is the part of the end time deceptions that the devil has been working on for eons of years and years and years. Throughout the ages, he knows how to play the game well. But this is not a game. This is for real. We're not here to play games. I like anybody else, I love to have a good time and enjoy and laugh. I love to do that. I haven't done it a whole lot recently, but I will say there is a side to me that enjoys going out and just enjoying the day and having a good time doing things and enjoying life. But I know that life is not all about that. And I know that I have a responsibility and I am accountable. Therefore, I've had to curb a lot of that out of my life. I've had to purge a lot of that out of my life. I've had to decide that I'm going to walk a certain way and stick with it. And that's how it is in all of our lives. We make choices and we decide every day what path we're going to follow. In Proverbs chapter 4, 16, it says here, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. In other words, you remember how Judas wickedly betrayed the Lord. Mischief led his way. He was full of greed. He was found wanton in the dens of iniquity. He was seduced by money. He was seduced by riches. He was a traitor by nature. Yet God called him, but the sin of transgression paved the way to ruin for him. He allowed that into his life. He fell by transgression. And it says here in verse 18, but the path of the just is as shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It kind of reminds me of Job. If you go to Job and the Word of God there, 22. I believe it is here. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Is the light shining upon your ways? Are you being led in the light? Are you following after light? Are you following after God's word? Are you allowing God to lead you like a shining light? The way of, in 19 it says here, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They fall hard and they wonder why. Because they've allowed the darkness. They've allowed the darkness to envelope their lives. They've visited the dark dens and chambers of sin. And they've wallowed in it. And that's why we need to be careful. We think that, you know, sometimes we can watch TV, or sometimes we can go to the movies, or sometimes we can go here or go there with friends, and everything is okay, which justifies just one time. Just this one time. And these are the moments when the devil will truly use to deceive you, to get you off track. I'm not saying that I'm a Puritan. I'm not trying to come across like I am. But I would like to believe that I am pure in heart. I would like to believe that I have the mind of Christ on this matter. And I believe that God would not want us to sit there and spend our lives watching TV all the time, or going to the movies and being entertained by the world. There are better ways, I believe. I believe that there is a way that you can have a good time in God and fellowship and campfires and going for a hike, or, you know, with Christians, friends, you know, and doing things of like mind and still have a good time. There are many things you can do out there. Going canoeing or kayaking, or there's a lot of things that I love. Being around water, I love anything to do with ships or boats, canoes, anything like that. I'm big into that, but I just have not had time to get involved with all of that. I've had to curb a lot of the things that I've enjoyed to doing by studying God's word more, by getting involved with the work of God. And it's a sacrifice. And I bring that to the altar of God every day, wherever I am. And God accepts that. And it's important that we seek God's absolute on everything, so that we found faithful at his coming. He's coming back soon. And it says here, turn not to thy right hand, which says, Proverbs 4:26, it says here, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. In other words, we are to weigh everything by the word of God. That's what I was just saying. Weigh everything by the word of God. Turn not to the right hand, nor turn to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So that we can know that what we believe, we will have confidence in it. Whenever we sin and walk in the ways of error, our confidence level is destroyed. Our faith is hurt tremendously. Whenever we find ourselves weak in faith, we should examine our lives. Examine if whether we be pleasing before God. Proverbs chapter 12, 26, 28 says here, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. There are many ways to be seduced. Through true riches and comfort of God's Spirit is one way to avoid. But the wicked, they live a lie continually. They always find a way to be seduced or seduce others. But there is true riches, and that is the Word of God. True riches of God's mercy and grace. In the way of righteousness is life. And in the pathway, there is no death. So in other words, there's not only life in the way, but life in the end. There's life now, there's also life when we get there. In Isaiah chapter 30, 20 to 21, says here, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." In other words, now, I was reluctant to use this verse only because I know that I come up here to teach. But the Word of God does show that we are to be grateful and to be grateful for the wise counsel and to the faithful of those who are have a shepherd-like heart over your life. That we are to... the Lord is not... He's given us bread of affliction, water of affliction, adversity of every kind. But He has not removed from us His mercy and His leading. We are to be grateful for what the Lord is doing in the lives of those that are over us, so that we still have the comfort of counsel, so that we still have the comfort whereby we can go to somebody and pray with them, or be prayed for. It's all part of what this verse is talking about in 20. And then it says in 21, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." There are teachers out there, but then there is one great teacher, and that is the Lord, the Spirit of God. The Bible still says that we have not need that we would be taught of another, but that the Spirit of God would teach us. Amen? We have the comfort of knowing we can go to somebody for counsel, but there's still only one real true way. There's still the great truth of being led by God, by His Spirit. There is still that way that is far better than the counsel of men. Jesus will always lead you to higher ground. In Isaiah chapter 33, 15 to 16, it says here, "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions." In other words, he's not willing to burden others with hardship, financially or otherwise. "He that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil." I can only think of how that in my own life, I couldn't hardly stand. Even looking, much less or more hearing of these wicked movies that are on the TV, these horror flicks, these horror books. How could anybody who calls himself a Christian desire to want to read horror books or to watch horror movies? That is beyond me. The Bible, it seems to be very clear to me here. "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil." It's everywhere, but we have to guard our hearts. I remember talking to a lady over the phone one day years ago, And we're just talking, you know, because we're friends. So I thought we were friends. But we were talking over the phone and got to talking about, you know, some different things. And somehow the subject matter came up and talking about things that she likes to do. And she mentioned how that she really loves horror movies. And I couldn't help but ask her, I says, well, you know, I says, what is it that is in you, being that you call yourself a Christian, that gravitates towards blood and guts and horror and evil? What is it that is in you that would allow and want you and desire, that you would desire so much that you could even say that? What is it about it? And she didn't have an answer. She just, well, I just got to have it every day. And I thought, wow, well, we're just not on the same path. We're not on the same page. It ain't going to happen. And that wouldn't work. I couldn't go there. I'm sorry. And that's just another long story. Anyways, in verse 16, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the mountains or the munitions of rocks. In other words, he shall dwell on the high rocks and towers of protection, where no flood, the flood of waters, cannot do him any harm. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. In other words, those that fear God shall not want any good thing. That's what that says. Isaiah chapter 35, 8 through 10. And an highway shall be there. What is that highway? That way of purity. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The holiness is the way to obedience. Isn't it? The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, though wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. In other words, even though you're weak, even though you're frail, even though you make mistakes, and we all do, we waver, we do this and we do that. Even though you're in that condition, yet you will not err therein, it says here. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Those that walk in holiness will also find perfect peace. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. These are the joyful hopes of eternal life, resting in the lives of all those who have decided to give their lives over to Jesus, to lead, guide, and direct. They have decided to follow along the straight and narrow path. But that path always leads to a path of holiness. That path always leads to a separation from the world. That path will always lead you in the right direction. True north. Isaiah chapter 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in a desert a highway for our Lord. So what are you doing? You're making room in your heart to receive the gifts of God's grace. You're making room in your heart to receive all that God has given you freely. You're allowing God to work perfectly in your heart. You're making straight in a desert a highway for our Lord. Every valley shall be exalted. What is he saying there? Every valley, those that are down low, those that are dejected and poor and lonely and ignored. It says here, in every high mountain and hill shall be made low. What is he talking about? Those that are hindered by pride and vainglory. Do you understand that? Every high mountain is associated with those who are proud and arrogant. And hill shall be made low. And then it says here, and the crooked shall be made straight. In other words, those who hold prejudices in their heart against God's word, against God's people, and the rough places plain. In John chapter 14, 5 through 6, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus was talking eternal life to him. Jesus was going to show him the way. Jesus, when he walked into that room with his nail-scarred hands and his side pierced, and all these things that had happened to him, and said, happy is he that believeth, that seeth me not and believeth. And it says here in John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, he is the beginning, the middle, and the end, isn't he, in our lives? And Jesus explains two roads, and there is only one way. In Matthew chapter 7, 13 to 14, and I'm not going to be able to finish. I'm going to have to be there's going to have to be a part two next week. But it says here, enter ye in at the straight gate. That is the conversion and the regeneration of your heart and your mind. It is hard to find and it's hard to get to because the road is difficult and narrow. There's going to be all kinds of things that are going to look to obstruct your way from truth, from understanding God's word, from hearing it, from being receptive to it. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. There is entertainment, life, and ease of plenty. And there's also roads that lead to deception of every kind. And many there be which go therein, that go in thereat. The path of least resistance. The path to ruin. The path to destruction. We know that God said he is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will ever, ever come to the Father except through Jesus. Therefore, understanding our need for a Savior is paramount. Understanding that we need grace and mercy is absolutely important to salvation. It's going to lead us down the difficult road, but a sure road. And I'm not going to be able to finish here today. I'm going to have to stop right in the middle of my message. But I'm hoping we can pick it up next week. And I'm just wanting to encourage you to remember, as we come back next week, and we'll be starting at Matthew chapter 7, to begin with next week, unless something, the Lord gives me something else, I'm not sure. But we are to know that the compass, there is a compass. There is a moral compass. There is a map book. There is a way. And there are absolute truths. The Lord has equipped every man, woman, and child here to find the way. There is tools. There is God's Spirit. There is the knowledge and an acknowledgement of God's word and what he did for us. And the only thing that stops us is the willful neglect of God's word and God's mercy upon us. And it's important that we know that we would not neglect God's outreached hand to save our lives. That we would not slap it away as though it were something light or as though it was something that didn't matter. These are truths that are absolute. There is a moral compass, and that compass, that way, that leading of God's grace will always point to Jesus, who rests on the sides of the north. And we'll get back to that next week by the grace of God. Why don't we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you, oh Lord, this time went by so fast, so quickly. And I couldn't finish, oh Lord, but by your grace, if you tarry, we'll be here next week to finish the message. And I pray, oh God, that you will lead us and guide us along the paths of righteousness, faithfulness, holiness, that you would keep our hearts pure, free from sin, that you would give us strength to stand up against sin, to take a stand against folly, to take a stand against all those things that seek to destroy. We still have an adversary, but we also know we have a Redeemer. And Lord, we acknowledge you right now. We acknowledge the redemption on the cross of Calvary that you bore for our sins, you bore for our failures and frailty, that you have bore our sicknesses. You have bore all those things, oh God. And you helped us to show us how that we can walk on the sea of sickness, loneliness, and sin, and all these other things. How that you were able to help us to get out of the boat and walk by faith. And we thank you, oh God, that you were able to show the way and lead the way by your word and by your spirit. For there is no other way. We know that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And truly, he is a fool. But God knows how to reach down and touch every heart. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, now for this day. We thank you for opening our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to receive the absolute truth, and that we would not be blind nor be led by the blind, that they both fall into a ditch and are ruined. And we thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace, and we thank you for pointing us in the right direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.